Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, but he's driving back from a far-off trip that he made to help get on the air the newest station in the Civic Media Network up in Amory, Wisconsin. You may be listening to me right now on Lake Air, and it's WXCE 1260 AM. So welcome, Lake Air Radio listeners in Amory, Wisconsin. Brian has been hard at work getting that all set up to go in the northern area of the state, and so he is not able to join me on the show this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. So you may be listening in Amory, you may be listening in Richland Center, the second most recent station to be added to the network in Richland Center. It is WRCE, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. You're also listening in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM. If you want to join the show, like I said, anytime, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Got a pretty jam-packed show today, because we've got new polling out of the Marquette University Law School. Not Wisconsin polling, but national polling. So Charles Franklin breaking down some numbers for us. We're going to dive into those a little bit later. We've also got a new report out from Ford Analytics, the nonpartisan research think tank here in Wisconsin. And so we're going to be diving into a report that Ford Analytics put out about the changing demographics in Wisconsin. And we're going to be joined at the end of the show by Pat Kreitlow of Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. He is the founding editor of Up North News. And we're going to be talking about a holiday that we almost missed today. And so we want to share a little bit about one of the state holidays that I think may be my favorite state holiday. So we'll get into that towards the end of the show as well. But where we're going to begin today is there's some breaking news going on with the Dane County District Attorney. And a case that we've discussed here on Dueling Tangents several times over, and it fell to the wayside for a while because the Dane County Sheriff's Department was investigating a officer-involved shooting of an unarmed black man all the way back in February. It involved several different law enforcement agencies here in the state of Wisconsin, and the main agency, the Division of Criminal Investigation, the agency that is typically tasked with investigating officer-involved shootings in Wisconsin, was involved in the shooting. And therefore, the chain of command of investigating this incident was handed off to the Dane County Sheriff's Department, a department that is not typically responsible for this type of investigation. And so we have an update into this investigation from the Dane County District Attorney. This is over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Jeff Riggles. Headline, Dane County DA charges state DCI agent in shooting of Quandron Wilson. So, Dane County District Attorney Ishmael Ozan, on Thursday, charged a State Department of Justice agent in the February 3rd shooting of Quandron Wilson, an unarmed black man who was wanted by authorities in a drug investigation. Mark Wagner, a Wisconsin DOJ Division of Criminal Investigation Special Agent, made an initial appearance in Dane County Circuit Court on Thursday on a charge of second-degree recklessly endangering safety by use of a dangerous weapon shortly after the criminal complaint was filed, according to court records. So one agent, Wagner, age 49 of Milwaukee, was released on a $500 signature bond with his next court appearance set for October 28th. Defense attorney Michael J. Steinel, apologize to the defense attorney, argued for the dismissal of the complaint, but the motion was rejected by court commissioner Brian Asmus. In a statement, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said his department would not comment on the case, quote, in order to avoid having any possible impact on the outcome. Ozan said last week, and that is the district attorney for Dane County, said last week that he was likely to release charging decision this week on the shooting of Wilson by state agents Wagner and Nathan Pesky. There are no charges in the case for Pesky listed in court records. Quandren Wilson's attorney Steven Eisenberg told the Wisconsin State Journal on Thursday that, quote, I'm happy there's been an attempt to render justice. There's been an attempt to hold someone responsible and accountable for what occurred. Shooting an unarmed black man in what I can only describe as an unreasonable and crazy method of trying to take him down for a crime that did not in any way, shape, or form deserve this. Quandren Wilson's attorney said he was disappointed Pesky, the second officer and state agent, had not been charged, though he acknowledged charges still could be filed. Quote, I think they're both culpable, Eisenberg said of the two agents. This is recapping the story in case you may have forgotten what occurred back in February. Wagner and Pesky were among 21 law enforcement officers from five agencies who moved in on Wilson's car on the Far East Side roadway on February 3rd as a part of a crack cocaine and fentanyl delivery investigation while Wilson was wanted on a Department of Corrections warrant. The agencies involved in Wilson's arrest included DCI, the Drug Enforcement Agency, Madison Police, the State Patrol, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Wilson's family has said he was shot five times in the back by the two agents. Wagner is identified in the criminal complaint as white. The family has said Pesky is also white. Investigators have refused to say how many shots Pesky and Wagner fired or how many times Wilson was hit. But for the first time, the criminal complaint says he was shot just once in the lower back by a bullet that broke into five fragments. So this is an update for what we have been long awaiting for, results from the investigation into the officer-involved shooting 7 months ago. So one state law enforcement agent has been charged with reckless endangerment, with the use of a firearm, and we'll have another court appearance towards the end of October, October 28th, in Dane County District Court. I believe this is long awaited. It is almost the end of September. And the complete report that I'm hoping we will receive when this is all said and done by the Dane County Sheriff's Department for why 21 different agents were used in a pincer move. Two undercover, unmarked cop cars were used to pinch Wilson's car and stop it at a fairly busy intersection early in the morning on a cold winter day, and proceeded to, as Wilson's family has contended, open fire at an unarmed black man. So we're going to continue to keep an eye on this story as it develops, but that is what's going on with the Quandren Wilson investigation. The Dane County District Attorney has charged one DCI state agent for the incident. Some other news, as we said, that we're going to get into, and folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. One of the interesting updates from Congress that we saw come out of the House of Representatives was a vote on a bill that we discussed earlier this week on the show when Senator Ron Johnson's office didn't really give a comment. He was mum. He would not answer whether or not he supported or opposed a provision to update the Electoral Count Act. So we're still not going to hear yet. The Senate has not heard this vote, so we do not know the official position that Senator Johnson holds. But the House of Representatives yesterday did take this vote on updating the Electoral Count Act. And all five of Wisconsin's GOP congressmen, Brian Stile in southeastern Wisconsin, Scott Fitzgerald in the Waukesha area, Glenn Grothman in the eastern central portion of the state, Mike Gallagher from Green Bay, and Tom Tiffany from up in the Northwoods. All five of them voted against updating the Electoral Count Act. I don't know if it's okay, because I would hate to get the criticism from them, but this is a pretty pro-insurrection position to take. We've talked about how Wisconsin is a purple state. It should have representatives that reflect that purple nature of the state. And the fact that not a single one of the Republican delegation to Congress here in Wisconsin voted to ensure that something that happened on January 6, 2021 could not happen again is extremely, extremely disheartening. And it goes to show that even though individuals like Congressman Mike Gallagher from the Green Bay area came out and said that it was banana republic crap that was going on when Trump supporters breached the walls of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, that when it comes to holding even the slightest, just going for the slightest a bit of accountability and updating and closing of this loophole, Mike Gallagher and all of the Republican congressmen here in Wisconsin voted against attempting to overturn the electoral vote process. They do not want to make it more difficult for that process to be exploited again in the future. And I hope to God that we never get to that point again. But because of Wisconsin's five congressmen, it's going to be up to how it goes in the Senate, because there's going to be a reconciliation bill. The House and the Senate bills are different, but it passed. No thanks to the Republican congressman here in Wisconsin. This is Dueling Tangents. We got more after this break. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation at any time. Share your tangent. You're listening in Madison on Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw, in Richland Center on Radio from the Center, and in Amory on Lake Air. Welcome to the Civic Media family, the Amory listening area. So we are expanding. If you want to learn more about what Civic Media is up to, you can go to civicmedia.us. That is the website, and you can sign up to learn more. And we got some Marquette University Law School polling for some national updates on some issues, as well as approval and favorability for several national politicians. We're going to get into that as soon as we are finished on the phone lines, but we got our friend Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, first off, I got a call from Americans for Prosperity, you know, trying to, you know, spin the, you know, put out the more lies about how wonderful Ron Johnson is and how dangerous Mandela Barnes is. That so I put cut was, short on that. I mean, I just,
was it a poll, Mark, or what was the call about?
It was a push poll thing, kind of thing, trying to say, well, you know, Ron Johnson is, you know, how dangerous Mandela Barnes is, kind of thing. That I didn't really let the person I talked to, you know, get too much out there before I just kind of told him that I thought that Americans' Prosperity was full of crap, and that
pollsters don't really let me talk long on the phone when they do call and I answer, because when they find out that you work in media, they're not very interested in getting your opinion. So I never get to really finish the conversation with the pollsters.
And on the Counts Act thing, that the fact of the matter is if we went to majority vote for the presidency, as we should have in this country, that we would we wouldn't be having any Republicans currently winning that seat. I mean, the only chance they have is through the Electoral College, where you have that more or less a tyranny of the minority rather than
Well, yeah, it's elections. It's elections in 50 different states rather than one national election. So yeah, the popular vote right. and the aggregate there, Republicans haven't won a popular vote in what since 2004, and even then it was under false pretenses, getting lied into a war by the then Bush administration. So there's not going to be anything as large a reform as changing the Electoral College and getting rid of that in the current state of politics, Mark. But this is the slightest change. This is making the threshold slightly higher for objecting to an electoral slate from a state when certifying a presidential election. It is the bare minimum that Congress could do. And it's got bipartisan support. It was introduced by a Republican and a Democrat. And it is a modest step to ensure we do not have the chaos that unfolded on January 6th happen again. And all five of Wisconsin's conservative Republican congressmen said, no, we're not going to make that change. And it's pretty disheartening to see from the swingiest of swing states, that is Wisconsin, that we can't have a single member of the Republican delegation break from party lines and support this modest change. Appreciate your call, Mark. You can be like Mark, 844-967-2789. So Charles Franklin in the Marquette University Law School poll did a poll from September 7th to the 14th, and there's some interesting numbers. The Supreme Court is trending downwards. And when I say the Supreme Court, I mean the faith that Wisconsinites, or excuse me, this was a national poll. The faith that Americans have in the Supreme Court is going down, and student loan forgiveness is popular. Those are two of the top line items that really caught my eye, but the biggest thing that caught my eye is among registered voters on a generic ballot, so a generic Republican candidate or a generic Democratic candidate, there is a substantial lead on a generic ballot for the Democrats, which I believe is pretty shocking, because all I've been hearing from some people out there is that there's a red wave coming, that this is going to be the Republican takeover. All of the national media is talking about how inevitable it is that Republicans take back the House and maybe take back the Senate. And according to Marquette University Law School, on a generic ballot, 47% of registered voters support the generic Democratic candidate, and 41% of registered voters support the Republican candidate. So a 6-point favorite for Democratic candidates over Republican candidates on a generic ballot, according to the Marquette University Law School polling. And I find that pretty interesting. One of the other numbers that came out from this most recent set of polling from the middle of September here is Donald Trump, the former president. His favorability number is currently at 34%, 64% unfavorable. But one of the biggest drops is for Donald Trump when it comes to if Republicans want him to run again in 2024. In early July, 75% of Republicans, 3 out of 4 Republicans, according to the Marquette polling from July, wanted Donald Trump to run again. Since then, in this most recent polling here in September, 66% want him to run again. So instead of 3 out of 4, it's now 2 out of 3. Donald Trump is losing support amongst the Republican Party, and Joe Biden's approval is up 9 points from July. Was at 36%, one of the lowest thresholds of the presidency for Joe Biden's first term, is all the way up to 45% in less than 2 months. So that's some of the top line numbers from Marquette University Law School polling. Again, 59% approval for student loan forgiveness. I didn't get into the numbers earlier on that one. But 59% of Americans approve of the Biden administration's student loan forgiveness plan. Only 40% disapprove. And so we've got some interesting numbers that we're keeping an eye on here in Wisconsin and nationally. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got a Ford Analytics report that we're going to dive into and get to your phone calls as well on the other side of this break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon as he is on his way back to his home base from setting up the most recent addition to the Civic Media family. Hello everyone in Amory, Wisconsin listening on Lake Air, 1260 AM. It's WXCE. You may also be listening in Richland Center on Radio From the Center, WRCE. And that's 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. Here in Madison, it's Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM. And in Waukesha, on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM. That beast of the east, the 540 AM signal. And if you want to learn more about what Civic Media is up to, go to civicmedia.us. You can sign up for those updates. Find out where the next station is going to be added to the network here. And I want to pose a question now to the listening audience, and we got this segment to cover it. We're going to be joined by Pat Kreitlow of Up North News at the final segment of the day, discussing a very, very fond state holiday that I did not know was today. Caught me off guard, so I was not prepared to celebrate. But I am prepared to celebrate this evening now that I'm aware of the holiday. So we're going to get into that to the next segment. But the question I pose to the audience for this segment is, how much longer can we avoid investing in Wisconsin, avoid the stranglehold that the legislature is doing right now to create a $5 billion surplus to then just sit on it and not address the problems that the state is facing? How much longer can we do this? Is it something that can continue for decades, or is it something that we need to come together and address now? We need to have decision makers at the table recognizing the threshold that we sit at and start to try to address these problems rather than play partisan politics nonstop at the state capitol. Because a new report from Ford Analytics, which is a nonpartisan research group here in Wisconsin, says we got about 10 years. Within the next decade, if we do not address a looming problem, we're going to be in some trouble. And so this is a state over at the Wisconsin State Journal, story written up, and it is a new report. Wisconsin needs more out-of-state talent to address workforce needs and keep up with retirements. Piece is written up by Mitchell Schmidt at the State Journal. The report is titled Moving In, Exploring Wisconsin's Migration Challenges. Now, we've talked a lot about over the past 12 years, the in many cases exodus of young people when they're leaving the university, gets referred to as brain drain. But it's not just individuals coming here for school and then leaving. It's teachers leaving the profession, going to other states to teach. It's nurses in a similar path. There are a lot of people moving out of Wisconsin and not nearly enough people moving into Wisconsin. And the state is going to need to take active steps to make the state more attractive for young people and families to move here to keep up with the demographic changes we are going to experience over the next 10 years. And so this report, as I said, was released by Ford Analytics, which is the Wisconsin Counties Association nonpartisan research arm. And this is reading from the piece. Ford Analytics notes that increased migration from out-of-state employees will be necessary to offset gaps left by retirements over the next decade. That gap is due in part to Wisconsin's ongoing challenges with attracting young people to the state, the report said. Now, the largest business lobby in the state of Wisconsin, because a huge aspect of why someone may want to move here, would be a new job. And so you look to the largest business lobby to see what they propose. And the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is the state's largest business lobby, when addressing workforce shortages, is very akin to playing politics. In many regards, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is an extension of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin. They claim to represent small businesses, businesses in general, but when political season comes around, they by all means favor the Republicans over the Democrats because that is where their allies are in the state legislature. Despite the fact that there's been numerous reports on the fact that Governor Tony Evers, incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers, has been one of the best governors in the nation at prioritizing small business recovery and entrepreneurship in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. He has a better track record in those areas than almost every other governor in the country. And the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce still don't want to see an ally in the Evers administration. They would rather see a Republican. And their response to how you address the workforce shortage was, well, the Evers administration needs to go put up more posters on the commuter trains in Chicago and billboards in the Minneapolis area. And that would address it. If only we had a larger advertising budget to encourage other workers in Minneapolis, Chicago, and those surrounding areas to move to Wisconsin. If we put more dollars towards that, that's the trick. That will solve it. And completely ignores the fact that the Republican-led legislature has refused to expand Badger Care year after year after year here in Wisconsin. Something that would make health insurance more affordable and make the state more attractive for young people. Easier access to health insurance goes in the category. If we make that change, the state could become more attractive for people to move here. What about something that all of our neighboring states are doing? The report mentions how most of the families leaving Wisconsin are leaving for neighboring states. There's a lot of people moving to Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa. What do almost all of those states do that Wisconsin doesn't? Some form of legalized marijuana, either recreationally or medicinally. Addressing that and opening up that revenue to attract even more people. Because again, $5 billion in the state's coffer is a lot of money. And I haven't even talked about anything that would spend money. We'd get money in from the federal government if we expanded Badger Care. We would have an additional tax revenue stream if we legalized marijuana. And that's not touching the $5 billion. So there's even more that we could be doing. But reading on from this report over from Ford Analytics, if nothing changes, if we just sort of continue with how it's been going, our 25 to 64-year-old population is going to decline by almost 130,000 people over the next decade, Ford Analytics Director Dale Knapp said. Just a few years ago, we were talking about just staying even, but now we're looking at a big decline, which is why migration becomes so critical. Federal income tax return data from 2012 to 2020 found Wisconsin lost more than 105,000 tax filers identifying as families under the age of 26, while gaining fewer than 89,000 from other states. Typically, such filers are single individuals, the report notes. So we're losing families, and typically we're bringing in individuals. All told, more than 460,000 families left Wisconsin over that nine-year span, compared to just under 430,000 individuals moving into the state. Those are not sustainable migration numbers. More than one-third of the families that left Wisconsin between 2012 and 2020 moved to a bordering state. Of the nearly 160,000 Wisconsin residents to move to a neighboring state, more than 62,000 moved to Illinois, while more than 65,000 moved to Minnesota. The biggest losses in the young adults, recent college graduates, and we've known about this, but we now have the data to really identify where they're going, and it's no surprise, it's the big cities, Knapp said. That's going to be difficult to change. Well, what if Wisconsin invested in its biggest cities? In Green Bay, in Madison, in Milwaukee, in Wausau, in La Crosse. What if, rather than vilifying the areas where Republican lawmakers in charge at the Wisconsin State Capitol have used as punching bags since the beginning of the Scott Walker era here in Wisconsin? What if instead they work together and use the $5 billion surplus that we have to invest in our cities, invest in our people, invest in the state and make it more attractive? Because according to this report, we're going for a big population loss over the next decade. And over this past decade, the largest area of population growth in the state was in Dane County. Why would we not try to replicate what Dane County did over the past 10 years to help make the next 10 years better for the entire state? Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon as he's off playing Superman, improving and adding stations to this fine network here on Civic Media. If you want to join me, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You can be like Betsy here in Madison. Betsy, how are you doing today?
Hey, great topic. Well, what can I say? You know, we got a lot of brain drain when Scott Walker came in and attacked our teachers and collective bargaining, and oh my God, and the list goes on. He didn't expand our badger care at all. In fact, he tried to sabotage and make it almost impossible for anyone to even be eligible for badger care. You got to be dirt poor to be eligible for badger care, you know, and that's a pretty sad state in itself. Yeah, I mean, Tony Evers, he averted this strike that nurses were going to have, which is a really major big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're right to work state now. I mean, Scott Walker, he just cut all the wonderful programs like the IRIS program that was really important to parents dealing with, disabled children. I mean, the list goes on. The slash to the public schools, the attack on our university. We've been under attack. And, I mean, we've had a lame duck governor, practically, who has done amazing. You know, I just urge people, why do we want to go backwards? We have been pushed far so back with Scott Walker from everything, just touch it. Education, environment, you name it.
Yeah, absolutely, Betsy. And it's troubling to see where these numbers have gone, because as the director for Ford Analytics said, They were hoping to break even. And now we're heading forward to a large loss of population if we do not address. And we cannot stay as business as usual. We have to come together to identify solutions. But taking that $5 billion and cutting it for the wealthiest among us, it's not going to attract more workers. It's not going to be the solution. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We got Pat Kreitlow coming up next. One more segment left in the day. 844-967-2789. Welcome back.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. Pat, I swear, some of the best laughs that I have all day are producing you in the mornings, and now you got me back one here on my show.
Look, if I'm going to be a guest, you know, I'm usually playing the role of host up here on Lake Wasota, but I figure if I'm going to be the guest, I can at least be a hospitable guest.
I was wondering what was
doesn't everybody mix their drinks with a cow apron on? I mean,
I don't have one of those yet. I gotta give me one of those. Roll. Yeah, and see, I was curious. You were keeping the camera off right until the appearance time.
Well, I didn't want you to see the secret ingredients that go into this old fashioned either that I'm going to be making while we talk about them.
Oh, perfect,
apparently.
Perfect. So if you hear a little clinking of glasses, folks, in the background, pay no attention to that. That is part of the bit. So welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You're listening across Civic Media on a variety of stations. And on some of those stations, you'll be hearing a familiar voice with Pat Kreitlow, who hosts Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. From 8 to 11 a.m.
That was convenient.
It is convenient. It almost sounds redundant, though, most of the time, especially when
I feel for the next guy that's going to host Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. I mean, he or she is just going to be livid. But for now, I'll take it.
Perfect. And Pat, as we wrapped up your show today, I came across something that I thought was breaking news, and I had to share it with you. And it's an important holiday here in Wisconsin, and I almost missed it. And so I wanted to invite you on to talk a little bit about, I think, both of a key portion of Wisconsin for both of us, the Brandy Old Fashioned. Because Today is Brandy Old Fashioned Day in Wisconsin, and September is Brandy Old Fashioned Month.
I mean, that's what you told me, but that's like saying, you know, it's only Packer Day on Sunday. Every day is Green Bay Packer Day. Every day is Old Fashioned Day, especially here at the Kreitlow compound, where that is the beverage of choice in the evenings. And quite often, if my wife or I, if one's not around, and we still make one for ourselves, we take a little Snapchat of hoisting the glass and toasting the person who's away. So it's just a traditional drink for us.
Traditional? It sounds like a routine drink. That's not, yeah.
Yeah, it's a traditionally routine thing that we've learned to respect for its healing powers and not what it can do to you if you don't enjoy in moderation.
There you go. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw that this apparently was a proclamation, last year for September 22nd.
Sure.
Governor Tony Evers.
Work on this. You tell me about the history of what I'm making over here.
Yeah, well, I don't have the whole deep history. I have the history on the fact that it's Brandy Old Fashioned Day here in Wisconsin. And apparently,
why? Because you got to salute the brandy. Whoever has National Bitters Day, as I put the bitters in the glass. Although most of right-wing media, it's always National Bitter Day. But anyway.
We'll go on. But Wisconsin is getting its very own Brandy Old Fashioned Hall of Fame. And so this is being promoted by local distilleries here.
Nice.
And I know that you have previously...
I'm just putting a cherry in. But by the way, a lot of people get the cheap maraschino cherries, and that's perfectly fine. They're
good. You got the Bada Bing?
We've got these these dark sweet ones that we got at the liquor store, which they now buy for us by the pallet. Because they know we're going to buy them anyway.
They know you're going to go through them. Perfect.
Do you have, you're a new homeowner. Do you have your muddler?
I do.
So you do have a muddler.
I do have
my
muddler.
Good. See, now that's good. So we can just.
You didn't even ask me how I wanted to take mine, though.
I'm not making yours.
Oh, my bad.
I'm making mine. But
you're not delivering?
Why don't you tell me, Luke, how do you take yours?
I like mine. My first one's usually always sweet. And then anyone after one is pressed.
Okay. Tell people more about the difference.
If you like a sour old fashioned, I've yet to meet somebody that's ordered a sour one, honestly.
No, no. And so, keep in mind that when we talk about sweet, as I pour in my J. Bovet, you know, Korbel is like the big brand, but there are other brands. And I just happen to like.
And there's a lot of local brands as well.
Be that as it may.
Because the whole premise of promoting Wisconsin Brandy Old Fashioned Month is to support local distilleries that are making the brandy for your brandy old fashions here in Wisconsin.
So, well, if you say so. I mean, there's certainly a lot, many good distilleries there, but it's kind of like bourbon. You know, you can, sorry, I'm just stirring this up here. You can only get bourbon from Kentucky, and I like bourbon in my old fashioned occasionally, but if you're going to have brandy, I would recommend everybody try different brands to figure out, you know, the one that's going to work out best for you. There really is a difference. You know, it's like beer or wine or coffee or anything else. I got my Milwaukee Brewers, you know, the Wheat M.
Oh yeah, here. I've got a handful of those around the house.
That's what I'm holding my ice in here, so I got to get those in
there. I love that the microphone's picking up all of the background noise too. This is excellent radio.
Well, see, then it's working as planned. A little extra cherry juice in there. And then I personally, this has got a cherry in it only. You're supposed to like mash an orange slice mm-hmm. in there too. And we're not in Florida. I don't have a grove of trees behind me. So a little orange liqueur, sometimes just a little dribble along the top just gives you that same little, sense of having the orange.
See, and what I've found is I have a old-fashioned simple syrup that I now make where I steep the simple syrup, but I put my oranges in, my cherries in, my cinnamon stick in, and it steeps for an hour after I've made that. And then as it cools, I put in my initial bitters.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows me to have by the batch, I have a simple syrup that's ready to go. So all of the work that you've just gone through for this segment so far, I simply just have to measure out an ounce of that with my ounce and a half, 2 ounces of brandy, throw it over ice, and I'm already done.
It's great. I actually have a neighbor that does that, Art, and usually around Christmas time, he gifts all the neighbors with a bottle, and that helps us
for
survive
week.
Winter up here on the tundra. Cheers.
Cheers. I wish that I could cheers with you. I told you I did not bring my brandy. So you're at the home studio. That is probably
the highest perk. Home does have some benefits, including things that usually a boss would come running down the hallway and you'd have to lock the studio door. Not that you ever did that. Not that I ever did that back in the day. But you do what you got to do. I kind of figured you'd have a flask with you. You strike me as the kind of person for the hours you put in and all the things you put up with, I don't know how there's not a flask in that back pocket someplace. Do you have one?
No, there is.
I mean, you've gone to some Badger games or something. You've got to have
I do have a flask, not with me, but there is ample beer and liquor here in the studio, but there's no brandy in the studio. So we're going to have to solve that. But really appreciate you joining me.
We can do that. I mean, I think if everybody divides and conquers, everybody brings in a little something. Evan strikes me as somebody who's got very good taste and can bring in, you know, his own favorite ingredient, and we can mix and match.
There we go.
What, some like bourbon, some like brandy, some like olives, not me, but yeah,
that goes in that sour
there's
category.
Many right ways, many wrong ways, but there's a couple of right ways to have a great old fashioned.
You want to know the best way? Make sure you have it here in Wisconsin and not in Connecticut, because I have a feeling
for the love of God, do not order an old fashioned outside of Wisconsin. If you go to Minnesota, they'll hand you a Manhattan and think it's the same thing.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. Appreciate Pat Kreitlow joining me. And tune in for Pat's show tomorrow, 8 to 11. I will be back on the airwaves myself tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.